But today I felt I better sit down because I just don't know how I'm going to do. Because, you know, I'm not feeling well, and I know that you're all praying, so I really appreciate your prayers. So I'm going to sit on this thing and see how this goes. Whew. All right. So several weeks ago, Judy and I started a study and on prayer. And Judy did the first message, and I did the second one. And then we took a break and had Bill Frisbee come talk about character. Can any of you recall what Judy talked about several weeks ago? Besides the fact that I just told you it was about prayer. She gave us an acronym on prayer. Does that help? Remember the acronym? P is for praise, right? R is for repent. A is for ask. Y is for yearn. E is for expect a response. And R is for rejoice, for he hears you. But if you could sum it up in one sentence, what would it be that she said? Anybody? Interact. Okay. That's getting very close to what I'm referring to. She said, prayer is giving our attention to God in a one-way, two-way conversation, right? And so, and then I followed up with a different message, and I said, the real goal of prayer is, can anyone else finish that statement? To know God, What else? A little bit more specific. Anybody?
Fear God,
okay. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. It was to create a dependency on the Holy Spirit in our conversations, right? I had said, when we pray, our real goal is to learn how to become more dependent on the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that knows what's going on inside of us. But he also knows what's going on inside of the person in front of us that we're praying for. So we need to ask him to reveal what's happening, right? And then we will know how to respond in prayer. So today, I want to talk about this title that you see up on the screen. And you might be wondering, what in the world? What's the difference between dots and O's? I asked myself that very same question when it came to my mind. I told Judy about it. I said, Judy, I got a revelation about dots and O's. And she goes, what? What does that mean? She goes, tell me more. I need to understand this, you know? And so I thought, and what does that have to do with prayer? Right? But sometimes God does things just to get our attention. And then we get sucked in, right? So at the Value Exchange class 2 weeks ago, I remember what we talked about, and you two can't say anything because you guys know. But do you remember what the topic was? Any idea? No? False humility and what was the other half? What's the opposite of humility? Pride. Pride and false humility. Remember that? I hope so. You wrote the book. All right, so during the class, I had this image come into my mind of a backpack. And in there was a collection of O's. Henceforth, dots versus O's. Right? And so I didn't think much about it. I thought, oh, okay, I see a backpack, I see some O's, whatever. It was later in the week that I began to realize Holy Spirit was speaking to me. It wasn't a voice, but it was simply an impression, something that I saw in my mind's eye. And it was quick. It was like 1 or 2 seconds, boom, and then it was gone, right? And I didn't pay much attention at the time. Now, it's important to note that I did not pay attention at the time. Why? Because you're on that same boat. You don't always pay attention at the time, right? But several days later, I saw another image as I'm driving down the road. Now, my eyesight hasn't been that great, and I've been told I probably shouldn't be driving. But so that was going on. I'm already having trouble, but then I'm driving. And then I see another image. I'm going, I'm supposed to be paying attention to the road, but I'm seeing another image. I'm saying, you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing another backpack. What? And it's a collection of dots. And so I thought, I've seen that before. And the voice that I hear, and not, it's not an audible voice, it's just that impression inside of me, it says, no, you haven't. Oh, no, you haven't. What? So here's my question to you. I've got two backpacks here, and I want to know, do you see any difference between these two backpacks? One looks heavy, right? There's a color difference, okay? But could that be everything, I wonder? Well, let's see. Right here, this one's full of O's. Right? And let's see, what's inside this one? Let's see. This one's full of dots. This is about as good as I could make it on the computer. Just, those are dots, okay? Just go with it. So then I said, so what's the O stand for? He said, those are offenses. Offenses. So when we were talking about pride and false humility, we were dealing with offenses. I'm thinking, so I saw this image. We're collecting offenses in a backpack. So then I said, well, what's the dots for? Come on, God, help me out. So I realized that he's talking to me, and he's saying, the dots are experiences that we have with the Lord when he begins to speak to us. In other words, what happens when you write a
sentence? Punctuate.
Thank you, Angel. And normally, if you use the word dot or the symbol of a dot versus a different form of punctuation, what does it mean to us?
Stop.
We stop, right? It's the end of something, right? So it's like, oh, park yourself here for a second. There's something here to look at. And so it was, so God was telling me that he was showing me the encounters that I've had with him that were resonating with my heart. And so he says, that happens when you're in prayer. It happens when you're in conversations with people. It happens when I collect them in a book or in a journal or in a recording, right? And so when I record things, because sometimes people will pray certain things over me, and sometimes they pray long, and I can't remember it all, so I record it. So, but when I do record it, what happens? I get to remember the details. And so if I don't record it, guess what? I forget, and it's gone forever, right? Now, sometimes you can salvage those things when you don't record. You say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for not recording it. Could you reveal it to me again? Give me a second chance, right? But see, some of these experiences happen in the middle of the night. Guess what happens in the middle of the night? You're sleepy. You're tired. You're lazy. And you don't want to get up. And I didn't want to get up. So my disobedience sometimes makes me miss out. But this past Thursday night, I couldn't sleep. I had these two images of these two backpacks in my head, and they just kept rolling around in my mind, right? And I just wanted to stay in bed, but I couldn't sleep. I thought, okay, you're not sleeping, so you might as well just get up. So I opened my eyes, and I make my way over, and I grab my phone, and I begin to write about what I thought those two things meant. And as I was writing, I felt like I was, like God was connecting all the dots from the past. So I would know what to talk about today. And then I said, it almost felt like dictation. You ever feel like you've gotten like a download? You know, we understand download in our culture now, right? A download goes, it comes from one computer down to another computer, and all of a sudden now you have what was on the other one. Well, we often need to have downloads. And so, but I have to ask myself, why in the middle of the night? Lord, couldn't we do this during the day? You know, I really don't know, but I just know that he knows best, so I just leave it at that. Then earlier that week, Judy says to me, Fernando, I think you should start listening to your prophetic words, or at least read the ones that you've written out. And maybe even follow up on the ones that you haven't written out. So I spent a day doing that, just listening to things that people spoke over me and over Judy. And as I was listening, I was reminded of the words that Peter said to Jesus. And he says this, he says, "Where can I go, or where can we go? You have the words of life." And there's no other place to be, right? We sang that song today, right? No other better place is where he's at and where he's speaking. And so I thought, man, these words really bring me life. And so one of the exercises I had done is over a five-year period, I had all these different words in different journals and notebooks. And I put them together all in one document. It happens to be 17 pages long. And we were on a road trip, and we take turns driving. So one of the times she was driving, I decided to read through these out loud so Judy could hear them. And what we discovered was there were patterns in what was being said over those years of time that were coming from different people in different places in different situations, and yet Holy Spirit was connecting them all together. And see, that's what the kind of thing that he does. He wants to speak further and deeper to your life, it's not just a one time. It's a continuation, right? And so he said more in that time where we did it all together than he did in each instance separately. So here's the thing. We began to discover that when we made room or space for God to speak, he often goes beyond what we can imagine or even ask. That phrase sounds familiar from somewhere, right? Somewhere in Scripture, right? And so there's this guy, his name is Habakkuk. And in chapter 2, he says in verse 1 and 2, he says the following. He says, "I will watch and see what he says to me. I need to think about how I should respond to him when he gets back to me with his answer." And the answer that he gave was, "Write down this vision. Write it clearly on tablets." So don't be sloppy, right? I'm sloppy when it comes to writing. "So that anyone who reads it may run." Now, here are some of the things I picked up about Habakkuk in this verse. And that is, one, he chooses to wait on God. So that means I have a choice to wait on God or not wait on God. And there are consequences for both. So he chooses to wait on God so he can hear what God is speaking. Then he also chooses to write it down, not so that it's not swirling in his mind. So on Thursday night, all this stuff was swirling in my head, you know. It had no order. And so I wrote it down, right? And so once he writes it down, it becomes clear. And then once it becomes clear, what? It means that he and others can run with that particular word. And I wrote out the prophetic words that Judy and I have read through. And he wants to continue to speak to Judy and I, right? So when we write down what God is speaking to us, it's like I'm collecting dots, right? So my job is to collect those dots on paper or in a recording, in a book or something, right? But it's his job to connect them together. But he can't connect dots that haven't been collected. Can he? The Holy Spirit wants to connect the dots in your life when he's spoken to you, but he can't do that if you haven't taken the time to collect any of them. Does that make sense? All right. So, and I thought about, okay, so God, those are my thoughts, you know, connecting dots, collecting dots, connecting O's, whatever. But what does Scripture actually say? Scripture says it's like a memorial stone. Now, there was a story in where the people of Israel came out of Egypt and went into the desert, right? And then that first generation died off because of their disbelief, their disobedience. And God took the second generation into the promised land. And when he did so, he says, we're going to do something here right in the middle of this, of entering in. And he says in the book of Joshua, chapter 4, he says, I want you to collect a bunch of stones and put them on the dry land inside the river for a particular purpose. And here's what he says. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In your future, your children will ask you, why are they there? Right? And he says, what do these stones mean? And he says, then we can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. Right? Because when the children are there, what? The river's flowing. They don't see it. All they see is the stones. And they said, what's with the stones in the middle of the river? And he says, there was a day when it was dry and God met us there. And so he says, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when Ark of the Lord went across, right? And it says, these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. You see, when we make memorial stones, whether it's literal stones or in a book or in a recording, it's a reminder to ourselves, it's a reminder to our children, and it's a reminder to our grandchildren. It means that we are being good stewards of the testimonies that God has created in our lives. And we're going to look at that in Psalm 78. You may want to open up your Bible to that, even though we're going to look at it a little bit later. That way you're ready. You see, when I maintain the testimonies of God in my life, I'm keeping my faith alive. And my faith continues to grow. And what does it continue to grow about? It grows about the eternal nature of God. If you were in the class 2 weeks ago, one of the questions we had to ask is, give us an example of the Old Testament and the New Testament of the eternal nature of God. And one of the verses, there's many examples you could find, but the one that came to my mind was that not only does God do good, but he is good. And that's found in Psalms. You want to look that or write that down. Psalms 119, verse 68. God not only does good, but he is good. Right? So if I spend time collecting dots, and if I give God time to be alone with him, then that makes room for him to sort out and connect the dots that I have collected, right? Well, guess what? What else the result is if I do that? If I do that, I do not have time to collect offenses. Did you hear me? If I'm busy collecting dots where God has spoken into my life and where he can continue to develop what he's speaking to me, then I don't have time to collect offenses of people I have against other people, right? So, and if I collect offenses in my backpack, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get a little too heavy. I got winded coming up the staircase. Judy goes, what's wrong? Why are you breathing so hard? I said, I'm collecting something for the example for church today. And so, is it my job to carry a burden that's too heavy for me? Is it your job? No, right? It's the Lord's job, right? And so what does the Lord say? So the scripture says, cast your cares on him. That's the next slide. Cast your cares on him. So in other words, I love the Amplify because it really stands out. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares about you. How does he care about you? With deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. That's pretty descriptive, don't you think? very descriptive about how he cares for you. And this is true about you. You may not feel it at the moment, right? But you must make a decision to believe that it's true. How did we do that? What was the last song we sang? I sing a hallelujah, right? In the presence of my enemies. Do you feel like a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies? No, you don't, right? And then the next line, I sing a hallelujah. What does it say? Louder than the unbelief. What's going on? Right now, I'm suffering from unbelief. But it doesn't mean I don't get to choose to sing my hallelujah, right? And in Spanish, it's hallelujah, right? It's just without the H. And so, all right, where am I at? So, again, back to this class in the value exchange. So you guys had a big, even though I was being kind of quiet, you had an impact on me, okay? So in the value exchange class, what are we doing? We're exchanging something, right? And so I wrote down here, I'm exchanging my cares, my offenses, my false temporary values, right? I'm exchanging my anxieties for what? For his true peace, for his true forgiveness, and for his true love. I was never meant to carry those things, and I was especially not meant to gather them together over time, because that weight is unnecessary for me. And you know what else is? That weight affects my heart. It affects my heart. So here's what I want to say. See, the dots that we carry instead, if you choose to carry the dots, they shape our lives by transforming the way we think so that we can think the way God thinks. Otherwise, we will allow our negative experiences and our circumstances to dictate how we think, eventually how we feel, and then how we behave. Our negative feelings and behavior find a way to impact those around us because we eventually pass on our unhealthiness to other people. And that does not represent the kingdom of God. That represents the dominion of darkness. So what am I collecting today? Am I collecting dots or O's? Well, let me tell you a little bit about what happens if I collect O's, offenses, right? When I collect offenses, I am able to pull them out of my backpack. Because see, it's full. It's full of O's. I got a whole bunch of O's that I'm collecting. And you know what happens when I do that? Huh? I made a mess, right? Right. Isn't that life right there, right? When you collect offenses and you're dealing with somebody, you're making a mess. A literal mess, an emotional and relational mess, right? So here's what's happening. Not only that, when I collect offenses, I'm prepared to fight. I am prepared to fight. And what happens? When someone shoots at me with their offense, they're using a single shot. But you see, I've got a collection here, so I'm not using a single shot. I'm using a machine gun. Brr, brr, you know? And so it's supposed to be a one for one. But if there's a one and a none, and then I shoot 20, then I'm not really dealing with the one offense. I'm throwing you everything from the past. I just threw up on you with my machine gun, right? So if I do that, is there any chance of us untangling the mess of the one shot you shot at me? Mm-mm, there isn't, is there? You know, maybe it's better if I just deal with one offense at a time, right? Or better yet, let's do a value exchange and let the Holy Spirit deal with one offense at a time. You guys are kind of wondering. He said, you missed out. Yesterday was the class, so you have to wait now till December to go again to find out, why. Hey, what are they talking about in the value exchange class? So the value exchange class, I really appreciate the Crowders for, and the Harwells for this class. And here's the reason why. In the class, they're actually doing exchanges right there and then, either before or during. And they model an intentionality to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the offenses as they come. There's no space given to carry a backpack full of offenses. Is there? Nope. One at a time, right? Life is lighter, isn't it, right? So, what's the scripture? What did Jesus say? My yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. Don't you want this versus that? Right? Wouldn't that be much easier to live your life out that way? Right? So, what have I learned in this process that God has been taking me through these different visions and dreams? I'm going to let you know about that. One, that I should purposely process what God is speaking to me. Whether God is speaking to me through people, if he's speaking to me through scripture, if he's speaking to me through prophetic words, dreams, visions, or when I'm in prayer or in worship. So here's a question I have to ask myself, and you can ask yourself. What do I do with God's messages to me? What do I do with God's messages to me? Do I listen to them and say to myself, that was nice, and then move on? Be real. Have any of you said that? That was nice, right? God speaking. Do you understand who's speaking to you? Or do I seriously consider, remember what I said earlier, I didn't pay attention to what was said the first time. I did pay attention the second time. Wait a minute, I see a pattern here. And so Habakkuk did the same thing. He was paying attention. He said in slide 5, he says, I will watch and see what he says to me. I will watch. Is that intentional? I need to think about how I should respond to him when he gets back to me with his answer. In other words, this guy, this prophet, made a deliberate decision to wait on God and hear him speak. Not only that, he also established an assigned location and time to listen to God. How do we know that? Well, it says here, I will take my place at the watchtower. Is that a location? It sure is, isn't it? And it says, and I will stand at my post and watch. If it's my post, what does that mean? If you're a watchman, you're assigned a particular time of day, aren't you? So he says, I'm going to take my spot, right? You were in the military, you know what that means, right? If there's nobody there watching, the enemy can come in. I think we should do the same, right? We should be deliberate in a location of where we hear God and when we hear God. And so the scripture says, I will take my place at the watchtower. I will stand at my post and watch. I will watch and see what he says to me. Does that mean God's going to write it on the wall? Could happen, but right, you got to pay attention, right? And then he says, Habakkuk, write down this vision, write it clearly on tablets so that anyone who reads it may run. So what are the things that I've learned from this process? Look at this one up here. Number one, believe that God wants to speak to each and every one of you. Number two, take your place and wait until he speaks. For me, sometimes that means I will open up my Bible, and I like to read in the book of Psalms. I will read a psalm after a psalm after a psalm until I sense that he's speaking to me. And I'll write it down. I'll make notes in the margin, whatever the case may be. Be ready to act on what on applying what he tells you to do. That's the hard part. Being ready to act on applying. Now, note this. This was a process, right? So the next thing it says, his revelation is partial, progressive, and conditional. It's partial means what? We, as scripture says, we know in part, we see in part, right? It's partial. You don't get the whole picture. And then the next thing is, it's progressive. It happens over time. And that's what happened to me. It was over time. And then it's conditional. What do I mean by conditional? It means sometimes he's asking you to do something in response. And if you don't do something in response, the conversation's going to stop right there. But if you continue in response, then he begins to reveal more, right? Because, you know, why would God reveal something more to you if you haven't obeyed the last thing he told you? The other thing is, pay attention to what to do or what not to do from the people that you see in Scripture. There are lessons to be learned, right? So if I keep the testimonies of God of his faithfulness to me, what happens? I can finish my race well. You can finish your race well. Your children can finish their race well. Your grandchildren can finish their race well. How do we know that? Now we're going to go back to Psalms 78. And I'm going to have all of it up there, but I'm going to highlight just a few things. First of all, God gives us a testimony. He says, for he established a testimony in Jacob. It means he gave them an experience, an encounter that says, this is who I am, and this is who I want to be to you. Why? Because God says that they should teach to their children the great facts of God's transactions with Israel. They need to have a record of when God met them, so they can share those with the next generation. And it says, and then that generation might come to know them. He says, they may arise and recount them to their children. So if I tell my children should be able to tell their children. What is the end result when that happens? That they should place their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What happens if you don't follow this? Any idea? We forget, right? And then verse 8 through 10 and 11 say that. It says, don't be like their fathers. They were stubborn and rebellious generation. That was generation 1 that came out of Egypt. A generation that did not prepare its heart to know and follow God. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. And they did not keep the covenant of God. And they refused to walk according to his law. They refused to obey. And they said, and they forgot his incredible works and his miraculous wonders that he had shown them. I believe that we need to know about the faithfulness of our God, right? And not only us, but our families need to know about the faithfulness of God, right? Our friends need to know about the faithfulness of God. Strangers in Goshen and Elkhart County need to know about the faithfulness of God, because they have no idea if we don't tell them how God has been faithful to us in our lives. So it's just telling our story inside the big story of how faithful God has been. Do you believe that, or do you keep it to yourself? We need to share our story. I have a prayer that I want to pray, and it's going to be up on the screen, I think, in the next slide. And then we're going to conclude. Father, I want to grow. If this is your heart cry, you can pray it, you know, to yourself right there. Father, I want to grow in the spirit of revelation, and so I submit myself to you. I ask that you lead me in how I'm to write down what you're saying in this season. Give me keys in receiving and retaining revelation. Help me to realize that this affects not only me, but those around me. Thank you for more lessons in your Holy Spirit school, right? Your school of the Holy Spirit, right? So, Father, I just thank you that you are taking us through the school of the Holy Spirit, where we hear your voice, we record what you say, we write it down, we ponder, and then we discuss it with you and allow you to reveal more of what it means so that we are totally aware as to how it is partial, how it's progressive, and how it's conditional in our lives. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, I want to play a song that we're going to have playing in the background, but if there are those of you who feel like, I'm struggling to believe that this is true, I would love to pray for you. My wife would love to pray with you. The elders would love to pray for you. So, if you want to come up for prayer, we're open to that. Every Sunday should be an open altar for you to receive prayer. That's my heart cry with Judy and I. I mean, we spent 10 years at the altar praying for people every single Sunday. So, as the song plays, you can sing along with the song. The lyrics will be on the screen. Or you can come up for prayer. And that's going to be our conclusion. And I'll release this when we're done. So, anyone need prayer? Come on up. Don't mind them.